Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. If you're looking at my homepage, you can kind of scroll down there here on the Indie Streak site, and you can see all the different shows I've done over the past year and a half. Last week, I interviewed Will Jackson with his film Denied, which is sure to get a lot of attention, especially with the LGBT community, but also just in general, it looks like a great film. Before that, I interviewed Master Sang, who I had a fight class with yesterday. We had a fight class for actors, which was great, and he really wore those guys out. It was kind of funny, but it really showed some people that they were not very much in shape as they thought they were. But it was really interesting. We did some punching, some boxing, and some kicking, and some blocking moves. Master Sang was in Rush Hour 2 and Rush Hour 3 and is going to be in a new movie with Brett Ratner that he's filming shortly in Bangladesh. So if you missed that interview, you should go back and check that out. Well, today I'm interviewing animator Lev Polyakov, and I think I have him on the line. Let me see here. Lev, are you there?
I am there. How are you doing, Rachel?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. We haven't seen each other in quite a long time now.
Yeah, I know. You're always at the film festivals, and I'm going to miss you this year. You're not coming to the Palm Beach Film Festival this year, I heard.
Yeah, I'm very sorry about that. I wish I could, though. It was always a very special time for me.
But your film is going to be here.
I know. My film is going to be here. My Heart Belongs to You, the new one about the hamster who falls in love with the elementary school teacher.
Now, how did you come up with this idea? It's so cute. I've watched this movie I don't know how many times now because it's so cute, this little hamster. And even the girl
thank
is
you.
Cute. So how did you come up with this idea?
Well, the girl was Miss O'Shaughnessy, who was my second grade elementary school teacher.
Aha.
And when I was there in second grade, I had such a big crush on her. And she was like this beautiful redheaded Irish lady, and I ended up finding her on Facebook later on, like about 2 years ago. And I tried to friend her, I tried to message her, I even found a photo of the two of us back when I was in second grade. No reply whatsoever.
Yeah. I can understand that. I'm a teacher, so I would be a little
weirded out. We didn't have a bad relationship back at the school. Like I was a pretty good student.
I can
imagine. Why wouldn't she want to, get together, maybe have some coffee? I'm 24 now, so, and back then when I wrote the message, I was like 23 or 22, so there wasn't going to be any problem.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know.
How would you explain that, being so you're a teacher as well?
I tutor kids. Also.
Nice. What kind of subject?
Reading, like SAT, ACT skills, that kind of thing.
My math is better than my reading on the SAT for some strange reason. I can't explain it.
I can't.
Because I'm usually not that good at math.
But I can understand a teacher not wanting to maybe friend you on Facebook, but at least she should have responded to you.
Yeah. Oh, well, what you going to do?
Oh, well.
Anyway, with the teacher, then, since I couldn't get together with her, I thought, why not incorporate sort of her likeness into some kind of a movie? And it was around this time that I met this dude, Colin Huggins, in the subway of 14th Street Union Square. He was playing the piano, like this pretty big, hefty piano, and I still have no idea how he managed to get it down the stairs into the subway, but he did. And so I saw him, I gave him my DVD, he really liked my stuff, so we got into talking about doing a project together, and he commissioned me to do this animated music video. And originally we weren't really clear on what the idea was going to be, and I had this idea about a kid who falls in love with the teacher and rescues her from evil demons. And then we ended up changing the kid into the hamster, and this hamster was actually in my first kind of big animated movie, which was called Only Love. I did it back in 2008 when I was in the second year of SVA, School of Visual Arts. And it was a pretty big project. I then had this little hamster who was the pet of the dictator, who was the sort of like the hero or anti-hero of the movie. And so we decided to use him.
Go ahead.
And that was that's pretty much it.
Okay.
He did the score first, and I listened to the score, and that was kind of the thing that started started the process of coming up with the plot and various ideas. So initially, the catalyst was the actual music.
Okay. Now, is it always that way with your projects, or do sometimes the characters come first?
On all the other projects, the characters always came first. Then the score was done on the other two films, Only Love and Fantastic Plastic, by Lev Gerbin, who is this violin player, and he shares my first name.
That's funny.
I just randomly met him at a party, at a get-together, and that was that.
Great. Now, on Only Love, you had a team of, like, 15 colorists that worked with you on that.
Not just colorists. I had a team of animators. There were about three animators. Then there were 15 tracers. No colorists. Because that's something that I can just do really, really, really fast because I set up all these weird hotkeys. So that just took me a day. I just sat down and colored everything. The other stuff, though, especially the tracing, that takes a very long time, and especially a very long time to get everything, you know, nice and clean, especially in a very unresponsive program like Adobe Flash, you know, that could crash anytime you're doing something, and you have to start over, and it's very, very important that there's enough time to get all this little tracing down. And we had about 3 months. We were working on a deadline to finish it right on January 1st, 2012. That was the premiere. Now we did it.
Right.
And everybody got paid. That's a very important thing. I don't want to be one of those people that when they hire people, they're like, oh, we can't pay you now, but you'll get credit. No, that's bullshit. It's very important that everybody gets paid what they want to get paid. Like, if they're working for a certain amount of money, then if they agree to that, then that's a deal.
How does the process work? Do you start out on paper and then take me step by step through the animation process?
Well, for My Heart Belongs to You, other than the painted backgrounds, it was pretty much paperless, even with the storyboarding. The storyboarding I did on this tablet. So, you know, like nowadays we have iPads and we have Android tablets. They're pretty small and thin. Well, before that, and they're still making these, although lighter, there are these tablets that are these big, heavy chunks of weight, like this Fujitsu stylistic. It's pretty heavy to carry around, but it's pressure sensitive, and that's super important because you could just take the pen that comes with it and just start sketching whatever in this program called Windows Journal. And you're able to make page after page after page of all these little thumbnail sketches. And you can move them around, you can resize them, whatever. So that is very ideal for making a thumbnail storyboard because you can quickly sketch something, you can just erase it, you can move it around, and it's all digital, it's all there, and then you could transfer that into either Flash or Photoshop. So I transferred that to, let's see, I think that for this project I may have, my memory is a little bit clouded when it comes to this step, I may have either done the thumb storyboard on the Windows Journal and then transferred that directly into Flash. Or I may have gone into Photoshop and cleaned some stuff up and then transferred that. honestly, my memory is very hazy when it comes to that. Either way, both ways are good. And both ways are terrible. Like, it could be done probably even better if somebody invented a special, I don't even know what to call it. Like, when you do a little thumbnail, then that would automatically get transferred into a timeline if you highlight it in a certain way. I mean, I'm just talking about dream technologies that would enable this to be done, like, 2,000 times faster. So, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to invent that technology. That's what I'm going to do. That's going to be my next step. I'm going to invent the greatest storyboarding animation program of all time. But we're getting really close now. Now we have these little tablets, and I recently got a Galaxy Note 10.1, which is this big 10-inch tablet, super light and pressure-sensitive. And so now I'm going to do all my little thumbnail storyboards right on that thing, and it automatically syncs into my computer. I don't need to save anything. And it syncs to my phone. So I could start drawing something on my tablet, and then I could keep drawing the same thing on my little phone.
Right.
Also pressure-sensitive.
Wow.
That's great.
Wow.
Anyway, where were we? I feel like we kind of swerved away.
No, you're perfect. And then once it's in the, where do you color it from? Is it for the Photoshop?
Yes.
Or,
That's then Flash. So where I left off before my horrible tangent was I took the stuff that's in the thumbnail storyboards, and then it went into Flash. And it went into Flash as an animatic, and the animatic is basically still storyboard shots that play one after the other. And that's pretty much the stage where you really, really have to set what comes first, what comes second, third. After that, there's pretty much, you don't really want to go back in and add new stuff later on. You really want to keep all that concrete, all the scenes that happen one after the other, because then you're just going to be dealing with a lot of back and forth, especially with where the music's going to be and where the sound effects are going to be. So you have to make that as close as possible to the end product. And that's where, when you play it, you will just see these scenes, one after the other, still images that will show you the entire movie. After that, then comes the music, then comes the sound. And when the animation goes in, that's where all the little sound effects start going into it. When the animation is not exactly finalized, but when it's in the sketch mode. So to give you another example, you do the Flash animatic. You add the animation, the rough animation, right on top of that animatic on the top layer. So you have a character that's a sketch, not moving. Above him, you have a character that is moving. And then you keep doing that for all the scenes, and then the sound effects would get added there as well, though the sound effects, you could probably wait until the end to do that. More importantly, like the voices. Because if you have rough animation, you don't need to do lip sync. But once you get the voices in there, you have to do the lip sync for it with much cleaner animation. So it's a weird order. Sometimes one comes first and another comes first. But I like to do it rough animation, then the voices, then finalized animation. In between that, we have the layouts. So the layouts are done is this process where I draw it with these thin lines in perspective. Sometimes I would also use a three-dimensional program like Google SketchUp to quickly put in some kind of scene together, like in Fantastic Plastic when we were doing like a doctor's office. And all those get traced, and my dad actually paints the backgrounds. So that's the one thing that isn't digital. It's the painted backgrounds. And then when you were asking about the coloring, the coloring is done inside of the traced animation. And the traced animation comes right after a scene is cleanly animated. Like, once it's animated enough for either voices to go in there or for there not to be a question about the layout, where what is going to be located, then it all gets traced. And once it all gets traced, it gets colored. And then it may optionally get shaded if we wanted to add some shade to the animation, but that's not really a, that's more of an optional thing. It depends on the style of the movie. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the process.
That sounds pretty complicated.
No, it's not complicated at all. It's actually super, super easy once you get the hang of it. I'm sure that the law is probably much more complicated, like doing the bar exam. I can't imagine doing that.
Yeah. It's all what you're used to, I guess.
I guess. But still, honestly, like, I'm not fighting a war here. I'm not saving a person's life with a scalpel. What I'm doing is distracting people with hamsters. And I have fun doing it. And I'm really appreciative when people like it and when people get a kick out of it. So I'm not saying that there's no value to it. But I am very lucky. I am very lucky to be doing this kind of stuff. And honestly, it's not that stressful. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I'm very fortunate.
Do you outline your story ahead of time, like, you know, what the beginning, middle, and end, or does it kind of, you start drawing and it kind of comes to you, or how does that work?
That usually happens in the thumbnail storyboard part. That's where all the story gets fleshed out. When I do the animatic, I really want to focus more on just the relationship of one shot to the other there, not so much the actual story. So if you're focusing on story when you're doing the animatic, well, first of all, you probably are still going to be focusing on the story because you can't really think of everything. At least I can't really think of every possible way to do something only in the thumbnail storyboard stage. I'm sure with a lot of filmmakers, when they're kind of in the middle of the movie, all of a sudden they think, wait a minute, this is all wrong. I have to change this. I have to change that. I have to go back here. I have to redo this. So that's the curse. That's not the most pleasant thing about making a film, having to go back and to decide to change things in midstream, but I guess it comes with the work.
How long does it take you to put something like that together?
Well, this one took about 3 months, if you don't count the thumbnail storyboard stage, which was just thinking about, you know, what the story was going to be. When I was doing the thumbnail storyboards, I still wasn't sure whether it was going to be a kid or a hamster, so I was doing, like, different varieties, going off on different tangents. So, yeah, about, let's say 4 months, if we include the whole thinking about stuff stage. Although that stage was more like, we didn't have a deadline back then, so it's difficult for me to say exactly how long the whole thing took. Because if we would have really sat down and said, we got to figure this thing out right now, or else we're going to, you know, burn this house down, then it probably would take an hour to do the storyboards, an hour to figure out a movie. I probably should do that. I probably should give myself some kind of a, like, very important deadline, like the debt ceiling, only I'm actually going to act on it. That would probably be a good idea. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. How do you know when the story is done? Because you kind of have, like, this adventure, you know, with the hamster. Like, how do you know, okay, it's time to wrap it up?
I just have to force myself.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll keep going and... Yeah, I mean, it's like one of those things. You just got to sit down and say, there's going to be other movies. This is pretty much as good as you can make it right now. Don't think about it anymore. Leave it alone, finish it, and then start working on the new thing. Otherwise, you'll go nuts.
Now, My Heart Belongs to You was shown on Channel 13. How did that happen?
I sent it to them.
And
they liked it.
Okay.
So it was shown there. There was a contest. I won. Then there was another contest. I won again. That was pretty nice. It got shown on TV. Pretty late, though. Like, honestly, it being shown on Channel 13 is great. I'm really appreciative of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing that has happened to it was that it was shown online. Because when it was shown online, it just got exposed to so many people, so many strangers that I never communicated with before, and they started saying how much they liked it. And right now, I think it isn't that many views, but it's about 20-something thousand views right now online.
Wow, that's great.
And it's like, no, but it's not great. There's this series I really like called Game Grumps, and they have like millions of views for everything, and the only
wow.
thing they do is that they just sit around and they play video games and then they talk about the video games. But it's very entertaining.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining, and they found that their audience. But it wasn't just as simple as, oh, we're going to put on this series online, all of a sudden people are going to like it. These were people
uh-huh.
who were online for a very long time, who have cultivated this audience from other things
right.
that they did. Like, there was this great animator, Ego Raptor, who started doing all these Flash cartoons on Newgrounds, and they were really funny, and all of a sudden he started building up an audience. So it takes time, but man,
uh-huh.
it feels so good to know that there are all these people that really enjoy your stuff. So that's what I'm
yeah.
going to keep doing right now, not only with animation, but with video games as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
I'm
working
on doing some video game animation.
Yeah, there's going to be animation in them, but the most important thing is going to be the gameplay, obviously. Because, you know, you could have a video game that looks good, but if it's crappy to play it, nobody's going to play it. So
uh-huh.
I'm going to make a very fun video game.
Great.
It's going to be very fun to play, and that's the most important thing.
Great. And we didn't really talk about Fantastic Plastic. That's kind of an interesting concept, too, about a guy who sings through his nose, and then his nose gets bit off by a chihuahua. Where did
oh,
you
yeah.
get that idea?
Honestly, I just woke up one day and decided to do it. There wasn't much inspiration happening there. But this was something that I did in the final year of School of Visual Arts. And
uh-huh.
when I did it, I really, really rushed to finish it. And
uh-huh.
you could say, like, it was finished, but it wasn't finished. Like, technically everything was colored, backgrounds were there. But then I decided to go back after SVA and to add a new background, to clean up certain things, to make certain animation better. And now it's going through festivals. But even most importantly, Fantastic Plastic and Only Love, those two films have not been fully shown online yet ever, which is weird because they were like really pretty old films now. So
yeah.
that's going to be my next step. First, Only Love, I'm going to show it online. And then Fantastic Plastic, I'm going to show that online. Because honestly, with all the distribution, distributing short films, all that kind of stuff, even though you do get some money from it, it's not that much.
Uh-huh.
And you're not going to get something as valuable as having people look at it online, admire it, and then you could sell your T-shirts. And then you could sell your dolls, and then you could
right.
make this whole business around things that people like to see that you do. But
uh-huh.
in order to make that business a reality, short films are an amazing thing to do that. Because
yeah.
people could instantly see what you're made of. And that's when people attach to you as an audience, and that's when people could follow you with other stuff that you would do, like video games, for example. So I don't think it's a waste of time to do short films and put them online. Like, I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
worry about distribution or, you know, going for the Oscar and all that kind of stuff. Because, yeah, yes, you can go for the Oscar, you can get nominated, you can win an Oscar, but then what?
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm much more interested in the long term, in having a long term relationship with people that really like my work. Though, honestly, like, I'm not saying I wouldn't want an Oscar. Oscars are pretty cool.
Not turning it down.
Nope.
You're not going to turn it down if they offer it to you. That's funny. Only Love got distribution. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, that's one of the examples. I'm really thankful that it did get distribution and it got shown on TV, on whatchamacallit, Shorts HD. And
uh-huh.
I remember randomly friends of ours called us in North Carolina and said that my film is running on TV.
Uh-huh.
So that was something that went on, I think, for about a week. And after that happened, you know, I was happy. But I didn't really get any connection with people who enjoyed it. So
right.
there may be people scattered across America that may have also tuned in during that time. But the problem is that it's not such a significant number for those people to then find out about you and start contacting you and all that kind of stuff and start to build a relationship with you.
Uh-huh.
That's where I think that model kind of fails. There's not a direct connection between those people. But if it's something that goes online and people start looking at it online, those are folks that could already see, okay, he's right here. It doesn't take that many clicks to contact him, to talk with him, to get to know him. And so a friendship would then develop much more easier if it's done online. And that's something, like I said before, something that I value much more than just having a distribution.
And you have gotten awards for your work, too. You've gotten... Tell me about all the awards that you've gotten, because you've gotten a couple.
Ah, awards don't mean anything. That was, gosh, let me see.
I got
an award from the...
The School of Visual Arts gave you an award. And,
Oh, yeah, there was that. There were a lot of awards for Only Love when it was going through the festivals. Let's see. I don't have the list in front of me right now.
Okay.
But one of them was Fort Lauderdale. There was also the Ottawa Animation Festival, but that was back in the day, back in 2005, with my first ever film, Piper the Goat.
Piper the Goat and Peace Pipe. What is that about?
It was about a little goat that gets abducted by a UFO. And very psychedelic things happen with it. I really want to release that online as well. First, I want to release those two, then I'm going to release Piper. In fact, there's a person that I was just talking to on Facebook right now who really wants to see that film. So I'm going to be bringing it out really soon.
And then you did a movie called Morning, Day, Evening, Night, and Morning Again.
Oh, I completely forgot about that. Yes. Yes, that was a movie that I did back in 2004.
Uh-huh.
Wait, was it before or after Piper the Goat?
No.
Yes, it was after. That's right. That was a movie that I did in, first year of SVA, either first or second, I don't remember. And it was about this opera singer who falls in love with this butterfly. Can you believe that I completely forgot about that film?
You have these imprudent relationships. The hamster, the teacher, the opera singer, and the butterfly. Kind of interesting. What does that say? I don't know. I'm going to psychoanalyze you now.
I guess what usually happens is I don't tend to analyze my films very much after they're done. After they're done, I just kind of, say, okay, bye-bye, and move on to the next thing.
Uh-huh.
Now,
you
though,
got
with
an...
the... Yeah?
Oh, I was just
saying
you got an honorary membership for the National Board of Review and Motion Pictures.
That was a lot of fun. I got to meet a lot of celebrities there, a lot of actors, especially one of my biggest starstruck moments was when the second Batman movie came out, The Dark Knight. We were in the screening room, and there was Aaron Eckhart, and there was no Christian Bale, though, but that's okay, because there was Michael Caine.
Oh, wow.
Then there was, I'm completely blanking out, Dracula. What's his name? The guy.
Gary Oldman
was there. And I was like, man! And Christopher Nolan was there. And
that's great.
I was like, man! All these... I tried to ask a question, and I just couldn't. My mouth was frozen. I mean, it was just unbelievable. I was watching this thing in IMAX, and all of a sudden, the people were right there. It was so trippy. And then there was also a Tropic Thunder screening with Robert Downey Jr. was there and Jack Black was there.
Wow.
I was like, oh, baby. That was so weird. That was so weird. That all these people from your childhood.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that was childhood exactly. Robert Downey Jr., I don't really remember much of him in my childhood. Anyway,
that's
I hope that answers your question about the National Board of Review of Motion Pictures. It was
so
a lot of fun.
What is it exactly?
It's just people coming to watch films and
okay.
celebrities coming to get awards from their ceremony that happens at this ritzy place with all these weird-looking lanterns. I don't remember. Cipriani. Yeah, Cipriani.
Okay. And you actually did a little bit of acting originally. What happened with that? When you first came into America, and then you, as a young child,
yeah,
I went to
Lee Strasberg there for about 5 years. Lots of childhood crushes, man. I could picture it like it was yesterday. Sorry?
Lots of material to work with.
Lots of material, exactly. Especially, there was, I don't know, there were just too many awesome things that happened there. One of my favorite plays was Revenge of the Space Pandas. It was so nice, we did it twice. And I played different characters both times around. It was directed by it was written by David Mamet. And
uh-huh.
I think both times the play was directed by my close friend, Marcel Simonaud. If you guys are ever in Williamsburg, go to this bar, Norman's Kill, Norman's Kill. It's owned by my friend Marcel. It's a wonderful place. They have an outside area where you can drink and smoke and stuff. Not that I condone smoking, but, you know, whatever, if you want to. And they have little berries that grow on top of the outside area. So in the summertime, you could just grab them and eat them raw right there. It's amazing. They also have grilled cheese sandwiches. And he was our teacher in Lee Strasberg. So he's the guy who taught me how to act, pretty much.
Okay.
So he's a good guy, and I had great fun with him.
Do you do any acting at all anymore?
No, I don't really want to. The last acting thing I did was actually with my Marcel. We were making this fake commercial, and I played this kid who got beat up for his iPod.
Okay. So what's next for you? Go ahead. And then
when I came back the next day, I was wearing this iPod protector, and it was supposed to protect the iPod from getting beat up.
Funny.
I don't remember if it works though. There was a lot of blood. Like when they hit me, they put this thing inside of my mouth. So when they hit me, like liquid blood would come out.
Oh, geez.
And it tasted very sugary, I remember.
Yeah, it's usually corn syrup.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I just thought they put a lot of sugar in like real blood so it wouldn't taste as bad.
No, I'm sure. Or it was Hershey's chocolate syrup. Could have been that.
Mm.
So besides doing a video game, what else is new for you? Anything other new project coming up?
Well, right now I have a website/Tumblr that I'm updating regularly. So my schedule basically revolves around doing the video game, updating the Tumblr, and what else? Well, there are also a lot of little side projects, commissions, things like that that I do. And whenever I make any new artwork, I upload it to my Tumblr, and I upload that pretty much daily. A new thing that I'm doing on my Tumblr is something that I call the hamsterization project, where I would draw people as hamsters. And don't worry, you're on the list. You're coming up.
I'm on the list? I'm going to be a hamster?
You're on the list, yes.
That's great. I can't wait. So what is that website so people can check it out?
It is levpolyakov.com, and I will spell that out. levpolyakov.com or levpolyakov.tumblr.com. Either way it works. So check it out. You can see my Heart Belongs to You. The link is right there. You can see my artwork, posters, characters, zombies, demons, whatever, hamsters, whatever you like.
And Lev means heart in Hebrew.
It means heart in Hebrew, and it means lion in Russian, yeah.
Okay, you see the heart of a lion.
Lionhearted, yes.
Yes, great. Well, we're running out of time, Lev. But
oh, no.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I know. But I'll have to send you back after you do the video game. Maybe we'll
oh,
I
would
we'll
love to
together.
Be back. And I would love to spread all my video game-ness around the internet and around fine folks like you. And you know what? I'm really, really going to miss you guys at the Palm Beach Film Festival. I had such a great time there. And I don't know. What else is there to say? And I miss the weather. This is horrible here. Spring in New York. This isn't spring. This is bullshit.
Yeah, it's cold. But it's nice and warm today, and eventually I'll get outside. I haven't been outside yet, but...
appreciate this fine weather.
I will. Okay, Lev, well, thank you for being on the show today.
Rachel, thank you. You were a gracious host. I'm sorry if I went on to a lot of different tangents.
No problem. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, Rachel. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, well, that was a great conversation with Lev, a very talented animator. If you haven't seen his stuff, go check out his website. It's really cute. He's got some really cute animations, especially the My Heart Belongs to You. Like I was telling him, I've watched that thing over and over again. It's just so cute. But he has, you know, it's animation, so I don't have much to say about that other than it's very cute for me. But anyway, guys, if you missed any of this episode, you can go back and listen to the whole thing in its entirety. We got really detailed into some of the process of animation. For those that are really into it and want to know more about how the process works, for those that are not as into it, hopefully you still benefited quite a lot from understanding what it's all about, because I don't know personally a lot about the animation process, so that's why I wanted him to explain it step by step, because I'm less familiar with that than I am with the regular film world. So I find it pretty fascinating. And I know it is very time-consuming, even though he said it's easy. For the layman that's not into it, it seems pretty time-consuming to me. I don't know. But anyway, guys, thank you for tuning in once again today. And we mentioned the Palm Beach International Film Festival. That's coming up on April 4th. It runs April 4th through 11th. So if you're not familiar with that, you want to check it out. And I'm going to give you the website. It's www.pbifilmfest.org. And you can see all of the things that they have coming up. They don't have a whole lot up on the website yet, but I can tell you the opening night film is Decoding Annie Parker with Helen Hunt, Samantha Morton, and Aaron Paul. This is the 18th year for the Palm Beach Film Festival. And there's an opening night film and party. It starts off at City Place on the 4th at 7 p.m., and then it continues from there. Last year was an amazing party, and I'm really looking forward to it this year. I'm sure it will be just as amazing. Now, I don't know much about what's going on for the rest of the film festival, but hopefully they will be updating the site and giving us more of an indication of who's going to be here and what's going on. So you want to keep an eye on that website. And hopefully I'll see some of you guys there. And, you know, if you are a listener of the show and you happen to be in town, or you're already in town and you happen to go to the film festival, feel free to come up and say hello if you happen to see me. Okay, guys, if you want to be on the show, you can email me. My email address is ravenprods, ravenprods, @yahoo.com, and I will be happy to look at some of your information and see if I can bring you here on the show. I get booked up pretty quickly. I just have quite a roster of people coming up, but just let me know, and I will be interviewing some of the people from the film festival, probably. I may even have like a double feature where I have a show at 1 and then another show at 2 next week. I don't know for sure yet, because I've gotten a lot of demand on top of the people I already have. So I have to play kind of tricky and try to get some people in here. So keep an eye out for some bonus shows from me. Also, please go on to my Facebook site, which is Indie Streak, just like this show, and like the page, because I will be putting up some extra information as I get it about the film festival. And also, ongoing throughout the year, I put castings up there, I put events, different things that I try to keep exclusive to that site, and I don't post anywhere else. In addition, I have a website, which I haven't mentioned for a while, which is www.independentstreak.com. streak, STREAK, .ning, NING.com. On that site, I will be having all kinds of information about the film festival. I will have film reviews, I will have interviews, events, all kinds of stuff on that site. So that gets really active around film festival time. It gets a little dormant during the year, and then all of a sudden it's really active. So any minute now, there's going to be a whole bunch of new stuff up there. So keep an eye on that as well. Okay, guys, well, I'll be back next week, same time, Sunday, 1 o'clock. And once again, I thank you for tuning in, and I will talk to you then. Okay, bye-bye.